I'm Ryan Bailey, and I'm the host of your new favorite show, So Bad It's Good. This podcast is an exploration of all the pop culture we love to hate. Listen to So Bad It's Good on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Welcome back to the show. Happy Monday. Banger of an ep today. Jackson, say what up. My nephew Jackson, we're going to the Seahawks game tomorrow, his first Seahawks game. Jackson is 8 years old. He's never been to an NFL game. Is that right?
Yeah.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
Who are you most excited to go see tomorrow?
The quarterback of the Carolina Panthers.
Who is? Sam Darnold. That's who's hooking it up. But who's your favorite Seahawk?
DK.
What's your favorite food?
Pizza.
What's your favorite TV show?
Captain Underpants.
What is your favorite song?
Pretty Little Liar.
Sing it.
Pretty Little Liar, what's she gonna say? Tell me that you love me, lying to my face. I know you double cross me, girl, you're such a fake. What a shame, guess my lover was a snake.
That was awesome. By the way, Jackson is dressed as a dinosaur right now when he's saying that. So Jackson is going to his first NFL game tomorrow. I'll report back on that. Today's episode is with another Seattle legend, Faheem Anwar. Great comic. His special, The Hat Trick, is out on YouTube. Faheem Anwar's YouTube page. It's was named New York Times Best Comedy Special of 2022. In a class of great specials, and it is fantastic. He hit the belly room, the original room, and the main room of the store, and recorded this special, and it's definitely worth the watch. Faheem, as we talk about, is just a brilliant writer. We talked about that. We talked about his LA grind. We talked about his love for the store, the road, putting the special together. We riff and do a lot of bits because that's what buddies do, and that's what we love to do, and that's what podcasts are all about, in my opinion. And Faheem is one of the best bit riffer. Sounds like a guy who definitely like bit riffer. I used to be a plumber, and I don't want to say I'm good at sucking shit out of toilets, but bit riffer. Look, I've been divorced. This episode is one of my faves. Faheem's a gangster. He's on the road a lot more now, so go check him out. Follow him on Instagram and Twitter at Faheem Anwar. Follow me at Adam Ray Comedy on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. AdamRayComedy.com for all my tour dates. This weekend, I'll be in Northern California with Sal Vulcano, Sacramento on the 16th of December, San Jose on the 17th, and Santa Rosa on the 18th. Tickets at SalVulcanoComedy.com. We did have to move my Snoqualmie Casino date in Seattle. I'm so sorry. My shooting schedule for Young Rock conflicted, and we had to move it to March 5th, 2023. Snoqualmie Casino, come out and see me. December 22nd and 23rd, Helium Comedy Club in Portland, a couple days before Christmas. Come out and see your boy. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. And then, of course, New Year's, Vegas, Laugh Factory, Tropicana, December 29th through January 1st. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. And so many dates in 2023. Chicago, San Diego, West Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale, Austin, Dallas, Seattle again. I'm doing some dates with Chris D'Elia in New Orleans, Texas, San Antonio, which is Texas, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Portland, Seattle with D'Elia. It's going to be a great 2023. Young Rock, of course, NBC's on Friday. Welcome to Chippendales, Tuesdays on Hulu. And of course, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, YouTube, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. And all the Adam Ray merch is at AdamRayComedy.com. Hoodies, sweats, beanies, get them while they last. Jackson, anything to add?
Like and subscribe.
You got it, baby. Enjoy the episode. Faheem Anwar, let's do it.
Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Guys, welcome back to the show. Faheem Anwar.
Straight into it, man.
Straight into
Damn.
It.
Damn.
Wait, I said Anwar. Is it
I take both. I get that. You know, not a lot of people ask that question.
Great.
Want the nuance, whether it's Anwar or Anwar, but I like the people who actually want to know. And the answer is I take both. I don't really.
I love that. So like if the Starbucks barista, how are the cans, by the way? Can you hear yourself well?
Turn me up. I'm like, Jay, Elliot, can we? Yo, turn me up. One take. I like to brag that whenever I do a podcast, I do one take. Other pods, you see a great pod, that's like the 30th take they've
had. Yeah, no. You're one and done.
I'm like Jay-Z. Like, I just hear the questions and I just run with it.
Now, was there ever a time when people would say, like, turn me up, Kanye? Like, did you say Jay-Z because that's your first
Jay-Z.
Go-to? Or was there a time, like, did you self-edit? Or are there people out there that want to say, I'm like Kanye, and now they go, ugh. Or like, hey, I'm like Kyrie. I'm not.
I just feel,
I'm like Vladdy.
You know how people will say Kobe with the,
yes,
you know? Or was it MJ?
Who started that? Chappelle did, right? Kobe.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I think the turn me up is ubiquitous with Jay-Z.
Cool.
I could be wrong.
You a big rap guy?
You know, when I was a kid, you know, back in Seattle, growing up, there was grunge, but I was into California, the chronic gangster rap.
Wow.
So I didn't really get into Nirvana, Pearl Jam, any of that.
Me neither.
I was all about Warren G, Nate Dogg,
yes.
Dog Food by the Dog Pound.
Yes.
And then as I got older,
Baha Men. Just all the great dog artists.
Yeah, Lou Bega. It's just, I totally
by the way.
Lose. I do top five by Mount Rushmore. I got Nas, Biggie, Kendrick, and then Lou Bega's on there.
Because he sang about the most girls in one song,
yeah.
But respectfully.
Respectfully, and then Gangnam Style, I would put them, him
aside. So basically everything off now, that's what I call music. 46.
It's like I grew up in a shelter or something in a basement, and all I had was a Jock Jam CD.
Bro, when I worked at Albertsons in Seattle for 4 years, all
through
high school.
I worked at Safeway. Whoa.
We must have talked about this.
I don't know if we have.
Maybe we haven't.
Let's do it.
Here's what's great about...
Everyone tunes out. You'll see the graph on analytics of the YouTube views.
Yeah.
And then as soon as we start talking about being bag boys at a grocery
store... As soon as they fist bumped over grocery store nostalgia...
There was a dramatic drop off. YouTube suggests not talking about bag boys on your...
Lou Bega and Safeway is when things took a turn. On Where Are They Now? Comedians. Mm-hmm. But you feel like you know people. I feel like I know you very well from just knowing you for a long time. But then here's what's great about podcasting and just hanging out. Because like there's people that you see at the clubs and you shoot the shit. And there's people you have longer conversations with. There's people that, again, I just feel like it's not a thing. You know, there's some people you feel like you watch so much of their stuff, you feel like you know them.
Yeah.
But I feel like we've conversed enough about stuff outside of what we do and that I feel like, or that's going back home stuff, even sports stuff, that just are a little more of a connector.
Totally.
And I feel like I've known you since we both started.
We came up, yeah.
1,000%.
So we have the Seattle thing.
I definitely rep you in my, like, who's in here? I'm like, oh, Fahim, for sure,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, same. Especially, so that, and then also the Seattle guys.
I'm yes.
Like, Adam, yes. Dye, yeah, I'll name all the Seattle guys.
So, what was my question?
Oh, bag boy stuff, or were you a bag boy?
Safeway, but no, there was something else I wanted to ask about. Oh, well, just the things that you don't, how many, do you feel like that is a true sentiment though, where it's like even that fact about you, where would there be an opportunity for that to come up other than, because unfortunately at the club so much, it's shop talk, right?
Yeah. Like, you have any other sets? Do you have anything else tonight? Yeah. Like, I was on the road. All about that.
How do you break away into those conversations
about
that are-
bag boy? I just roll in one day. I'm like, is it running later? You know, I was a bag boy at Safeway.
Sorry, I was going to work this out on stage, but I thought I'd get a gauge here in the parking lot.
Yeah. I talked about that.
Yeah. There is that guy that doesn't know how to segue.
That's true.
Or how to segue in conversations. You know,
he's
0 for 2. He can't ride one down the sidewalk. He can't find an easy transition into a conversation. You've never had that issue, I feel like. I feel like you've always been a gabber.
Yeah, kind of.
We'll
I have
in the
moments.
Grocery store stuff. Sorry, guys.
Sure. Well, I know we got to get into it. Like, we're not going to... I want to get into
I'm
it.
I'm good at going on tangents and getting back. We will get back.
Yeah.
But were you always a good conversationalist and riffer?
Yeah, the lunch table when I was a kid,
yeah.
You know? I'm better once I know people. You know, I think certain comedians, I think you're good at this. And also, I think it's the stereotype of a comedian that can just, you know...
Yes.
Just roll with everything and like any group of people. I can do that on stage and shit, but I think just the way I was raised and stuff, I gotta know you a little more before
1,000.
I can be me, which is tough, especially in our game with like podcasts. Like, it behooves the person who can just like plug into any situation and be them.
Sure.
But like at the lunch table, I was me.
Wow.
You know, because I know that they're my friends and
okay,
all that.
Gotcha.
But if same when I'm dating someone and they introduce me to their friends at some party. They go to Maggiano's or some shit. I'll be like, hello. Yeah, how are you? You would have no idea I'm a stand-up comedian.
Totally.
Because I don't know these people.
I think that's the move, though. You're reading the room. It's just like any new crowd, I guess. You want to get comfy before you... Well, I mean, I guess that's different with stand-up. You want to, you know, you want to make... You go out of your way to make yourself comfortable, and I guess there's less of a give and take conversationally. But yeah, like, if you're at a barbecue and you're meeting people, you don't want to just start slinging zingers.
Yeah.
Or roasting a guy's outfit that you don't know.
Unless that's your personality. Totally, people are like that. Like, 1,000%. I think Glassman is that.
Yes.
He could be meeting, you know, Obama or whatever, and Glassman's going to be the same way in any situation, whereas I'd be like, oh, hello, Mr. President. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah. There are moments where you feel like you have to be on to kind of save a social situation. Have you ever been like that?
Yeah, I mean... I think it happens in our... Oh, you mean outside of the stage?
Yes.
Or...
Where, like, you're like, thank God I've got the gift of gab and able to, like... Like, where you're just like, I can't stand that I'm in a circle that's such a downer right now. Or that people are... Like, it's just a rotating circle of, like, yeah, so I'm thinking about buying the new Max coming out on Friday. But, Stephen, didn't you say that you used to work at the Max store? I did. I didn't work there per se, but I went there so much, that people thought I worked there. And you're like, hey, guys... And then maybe just insert something racist, right? Just to change up the energy.
Uh-huh. I'll get less of that and more so. You ever have it after, because I don't care about saving. You know what I mean? Like, they want the plane to go down.
See, that's my people pleasing, like Jewish mother. Like, I can't sit in the awkwardness. I need to make it like salvageable. I've always
show
been
them
that
what
way.
A real conversation is. You go, guys.
Also
watch
for my
and
own,
learn.
Yeah, maybe a little of that, but also just I need to like I can't. I guess I know that I can that the ship can be steered back on course. So I'm just like,
why not do it? I have the skills.
Yeah, or maybe even throw in something in the Max store that kind of conversation that just gets it into a more interesting.
Yeah, you know that skill I kind of developed doing the OR in the Comedy Store, and just kind of you're great at it too, like crowd work and just going into the material, riffing with some people, being nimble.
Yes,
and that I think was beneficial because sometimes after shows. You'll get, there's nervous. Some people have certain energies where they're nervous and to meet you, or they just have interesting personality traits. Yeah. And you get really good at judoing to not make it feel weird. Because, like, a less seasoned, like, we're comedians, we're good at shifting energies and conversations. And so you are able, has you ever had someone kind of awkward and weird, and you're able to make the conversation not weird?
Yes.
And it's almost like a form of crowd work.
Yes. And there's also some people that think, oh, because you do this, that, like you said earlier, that you can roll with anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure you've had your fair share of people that say things out of character, even for them, but they're just like, right, comedian? And you're like, I do not agree with that last statement.
Right.
I don't know if there was a joke there. It definitely was insensitive, but, and they're like, yeah, I think, oh, the comedian things, it's insane. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they just set you up, and they're just like, I have family members and family members' friends that I've just met over the years that just love to... Give alley-oops when you're like, dude, we're not even on the court.
Yeah. Sometimes I just feel like, yo, I'm off the clock. I don't want to. Yeah. I have bits that I want to try, and I'll do it at the club. I don't need to do it at this party or whatever.
Now,
there's the concept of a comedian.
Yes.
And I don't subscribe to that because that's not my natural state.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
Hold on, Bag Boy. I got to get back
to this.
Okay,
great. Please.
Hold on. So you worked at Albertsons.
Yeah,
I worked at Safeway.
Lake Forest Park.
I did Cottage Lake Safeway in Woodinville.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason I worked there is because they were the only company that would hire 15 and a half year olds.
Yeah.
So it was almost like, yeah, nowhere else would hire.
Hey, I might have been 16 at Albertsons. I think I was actually. I turned 16. I was one of the two kids that turned 16 at the end of freshman year of high school. So I was a little older. And so got a little piece of shit car. My mom was like, I'll buy this piece of shit car.
What was it?
88 Chevy Spectrum. A box with wheels on it.
Nice.
And it was like maybe 1400. Mom talked him down to like 900. And then who knows? She might have Sally Field Forrest Gumped it, you know? And if you don't know what I mean by that, go back and watch it. But basically, there's a scene in Forrest Gump where Sally Field is trying to get Forrest into the school. And the guy's like, I ain't taking no metal leg, peg leg, dumb fucking chocolate bus boy. I'm paraphrasing. He was basically saying like, we got no room. And she was like, well, maybe I can change your mind. Don't judge my Sally Field impression. And then she walks out and the guy's sweating and she's like, your mom sure does care about your education, son. Basically, she fucked. I don't know if my mom did that. Either way, the cost was cut. And now she's like, buy gas and insurance and I'll get the car. Because you have to, so you need a job. So
yes.
I worked at, 16 was the age. Safeway always, to me, felt like the better grocery store.
Interesting.
Weird that I thought that. Even though Albertsons was in my neck of the woods.
I feel the same way. I feel like Safeway. But I loved Albertsons too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would call it Bag Boy. But I think
for sure.
They call it Courtesy Clerk. Like that's a class above.
No, Bag Boy.
Bag Boy.
That's what you are.
I'm a Bag Boy.
You're nothing. We were nothing more than that. You were a boy putting.
I was a boy putting doing Tetris into paper bags.
Yeah.
And I would get so excited when a jar broke. I was like, I'll do it. Because it was just a way. Because it's an onslaught of groceries for 8 hours a day.
And it's too much, by the way. No 15 and a half or 16-year-old boy can handle the holiday rush at a grocery store.
Oh my God, Thanksgiving time, like Christmas time.
You're just running down different. Did you ever, like, you come back in from collecting carts? I would always try to slip away.
Oh, I love that, too, because you're on your own. They don't know how long it takes, and I'm just kind of.
And you're like, there was one over near the bank, like, 10 miles away. And
you come
like,
back with cotton candy. Yeah. Where'd you go?
There's also a
carts.
Fair.
There was one in the cart. You have a Ren fair turkey leg.
they never really question what, because, again, if you were like, because people did steal carts. So if there was one, for Albertsons, people all the time.
I guess so, because you always see homeless people with shopping carts.
Oh, totally, yeah.
I never had to track down someone. And
did your folks ask you to get that job? Did they instill like a work ethic in you? Because you've got a
I think so. But also my brother kind of set the trend for everything that was expected,
gotcha.
You know, when it comes to grades and also jobs. And he did this thing called Running Start, where
yes,
you would do half community college classes and half high school. So then I did that too.
Now, let me ask you this. Was there any sort of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Where you are looking at him with disdain, where you're like, fuck, dude, like, let me create my own path. You're kind of setting the tone before I'm even ready for the tone to be set.
Nah, I didn't mind it. It was just sort of the thing to do.
Gotcha.
And
did you like school?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, cool.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Enough. You know, I had friends and I was good enough at school.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that job happens. We were talking about your writing process. I'm fascinated by. And I don't think I've truly asked because, yeah. I remember the last time I've seen you a bunch at the store, but when I'd say, and you could probably attest to this, maybe the last, like, I don't know. I feel like Fahim's, you got to see Fahim. You got to watch Fahim. Fahim's so funny. Has been in the zeitgeist for like, I don't know, a strong 7-8 years, right?
Yeah, I guess. That,
maybe longer.
Yeah.
But I feel like
I've been under the radar for like.
Totally.
A long time.
But also
just
it's like
line that I've heard a lot.
But also it's like, but then it's like, that's all relative. But I guess under the radar to maybe like. Like what to you made you feel like you got out of the radar? Like Rogan? Getting like a few more, you're touring more now, which is great, which has, I don't know if that was half your intention and half someone finally going like, all right, this guy, I should rep this guy and I'm gonna help this guy get work. A little bit of both?
I think, doing Rogan helps. And then also this shift happened, you know, you're old enough when you got into stand-up and when I got into stand-up, there was a way of doing things.
Yeah.
You would see Premium Blend. You would see the Comedy Central Half Hour.
Yes.
And you would try to be like a wacky neighbor on a sitcom.
Yeah.
That was a way to get on as a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
And then there's also these gatekeepers within stand-up. If you wanted to get in front of America or the world, you needed so-and-so at Netflix to fuck with you.
Yeah.
Or you needed so-and-so at Comedy Central to fuck with you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you weren't getting in front of people. So we just came from the school of holding on to our material and waiting for these gatekeepers to tap us and say, okay, now bless the world with your comedy.
Yeah.
So we've been grinding at clubs for fucking years. But in terms of releasing our stuff to the world, we had been on starting blocks for so long. And I had been 15 years, I don't know how, because this shift happened. It almost took technology to get to a point where Instagram and TikTok and YouTube, those became viable contenders.
Yeah.
Almost more powerful contenders
to
a Comedy Central or a Netflix or whatever. And they weren't fucking with me in that way to begin with.
Right.
On a stand-up front. Like,
right.
They weren't seeing me that way.
Right.
And then there was this. So I just made this shift where I'm like, I'm just releasing the hounds. Like all the stuff I have, why am I holding it? I held it for CISO. You know what I mean? Like I had my first special.
Which is a great special.
Thanks.
Go watch it. Now it's on YouTube.
Sure, yeah. But it's a testament to, I was holding, I'm a dragon on all this yeah. treasure, and to give it to CISO so nobody can see it.
Right.
So.
Well, because you were conditioned to think that, again, those
that's
gatekeepers,
the way to do it.
That you, yeah, you don't just put it out.
Yeah.
And whether it was the business, you know, kind of laying out the blueprint for that to not be the way to do it, or people, all it takes is a couple voices to be like, oh, don't just put it up. Or like, or for you to look at like, oh, that guy doesn't do it, right? Like, it's probably not the way. Instead of maybe being the person to start, like, there's a world where you just started doing what you're doing now with all of the, you know, Fahim Works On stuff, which is great. It's a, you're, but also you have to be someone as prolific as you are at writing so much and, yeah. And having the bits be, even when I'm watching these videos of you working stuff out, I'm like, I don't know what he's working out. That's a full-fledged bit that I would be glad to have right. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's, yeah, I guess. So I just leaned into my superpower. So even though I wasn't getting on at Netflix and these places that popped our peers yes. and, you know, they were lucky enough to be chosen and have a platform and stuff, that was just never there for me. And I had this superpower of writing so much. So I have so much stuff. And no outlet for it other than just the clubs and stuff. So that's why I had this mental shift where I'm like, I'm just putting it out there. I'm just putting it all on YouTube. My special, I'm putting it on YouTube. I'm doing Instagram clips and captioning. This is how I'm going to reach the people. And I think it's great because that's how people consume media nowadays.
Yeah.
And it's like the floodgates are open and I wish I would have done this sooner, but.
No, it happens the way it's supposed to.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so with your writing, like I you know, there's certain bits. I think everybody has probably a comic like this where they go, oof, man, like what? Like, how come I didn't think of that? Or I wish I thought of that. I think it's really healthy to get to a place. And I got there pretty early with you because I would watch and just laugh and go, man, like I, celebration, intimidation, jealousy of like, I wish my brain thought, because you'd say things where I go, yeah, I agree, you know, like your favorite comics, you go, man, I agree. Burr does this all the time where he says things and I just go, fuck,
yo,
how did
same,
I not
same.
Think of that take?
Yeah.
But then, so the healthy place of just stepping back and being like, that's not my brain. I love that. And it's, I can appreciate and celebrate it more when I just go, foof, I'm putting Fahim up on this, you know, pedestal, whatever it is, and going, I'm just going to enjoy that, celebrate it, and go, I got my own things that I do, but I don't think like that. And I'm glad I don't. Instead of like, fuck. Do you know what I'm saying?
I've gotten there. I've gotten there too. And I think it comes with age and sort of having your own accomplishments within the
field.
And
more confidence in what you are
doing
on stage.
Yeah, like there are things you do that I can't do. Like I look at your crowd work stuff and there's gears that I don't have and I watch it and I'm like, that's great. And I can appreciate it
yeah.
and know that I do a different thing.
Yes.
And that's
you also are a great listener though with crowd work, but I hear what you're saying. It's
yeah.
like because you're, you know, you've got so much stuff. I mean, you're probably walking up there with like, man, I could do 40 minutes of new stuff almost every set. So it's like, you're getting it all in. So with sometimes when I see you with crowd work, I'm like, oh, he's getting what he needs to get out of that to keep it moving, but could also, you know, expand a little bit more
yeah.
versus I think then, yeah, I don't mind if I'm like the half or all the set's gone with a couple moments that I want to find out more on or just like let play out.
Yes.
But that's also because maybe I don't, on certain times that I have that, don't have stuff that I was really jazzed about working out that
mm-hmm.
night. It's sometimes what I, because if I do, but then also times I just want to be so present that it's like, if I do have things, I'll get off stage and go, fuck, I really wanted to hit those two. Oh, it was only two things I wanted to hit.
yeah.
And I didn't
because
I- You got
so sidetracked with everything else, but it was a party and it was fun.
But I also don't get mad at myself too much for that because I'm like, I always want, it means I was present and I was trying to, I was curious and I was like dialed in and I feel like that's always a good thing to have. But I guess I just want to know, I'll give you a specific bit
sure.
instead of just saying like, how do you write? When we were in Austin at the same time, I think this was maybe a year and a half ago, maybe a year ago.
Okay.
And I saw you do, I think you posted it too, the bit with the emoji with the—
Oh, the dancing guy?
Have you posted it or no?
Yeah, I posted
okay.
it.
Okay. That, I was with Derek Poston and Sam Lopez and we were just laughing so hard. And that was another one, like many, where I was just like, I just couldn't even laugh because I was just like, that's so funny, you know? And so I'm just like, where— Maybe you can just break through that bit a little bit to get an idea of how you
So, yeah,
it.
In that period, I was dating a lot and you're on the apps, and when you match with people, there's this verbal exchange or, you know, text exchange that goes on for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And I would notice, you would see, it's almost like the engineer in me, you see where you fuck up or you don't hear anything back after a few exchanges and you wonder why.
Yeah.
And then you do a case study for each text and see where it went wrong. And I would notice whenever you came off a little too eager, like I would use an exclamation point or I would use a certain emoji. Mm. It reads as like weak if you don't have them yet.
Right.
Because it's this feeling out. In dating and doing all these apps and stuff, I realize it's a good mantra to have is what would Don Draper do? When you're courting, when you don't have them yet,
yeah.
How would Don Draper text?
Yeah.
Would he send emojis? He wouldn't. So I would notice, I think, when I did a dancing guy. So that's how the thought came, just from having these exchanges with women. And when I use an emoji or I came off too eager, like an exclamation point, it would be radio silence. And then I'm just venting that on stage where I talk about, like, you ever send an emoji, you know, just how hard it is, how women are like deer grazing in the forest. Mm. And, you know, you just send the wrong emoji and they're like, yeah. And then you're like, no, come back. Because that's what it felt like.
Oh my
God. It felt
God.
Like when you're dating, like, here, yeah, you want to get a drink sometime? And then you send a dancing guy. And and then there's just something so funny about that being the last exchange that you send to a girl.
That's the end of
and
the bit.
And you're going to die. You're going to become an old man. And that's just...
left on red.
That's
right?
On both your pockets. Like you send this and all you see is scene under the dancing guy.
That's what... Yeah, that line really killed me. Do you talk these things out to yourself? Do you write down a nugget of a...
I write enough of the concept and then...
Do you just see it? Like Minority Report so well of what you want to say.
Yeah.
Once you think of the bullet points, you're like, I don't even need to rehearse this because I know what I want to say. And I'm just going to, or do you feel more comfortable to say it like, you know, and be articulate?
I think as comedians, something will strike us as funny. And it's this like energy or feeling, you know, there's something there. You don't have the word. And then you marinate on it for a bit and you distill it down to kind of like, what is the core idea of it? And then I'll jot down those words,
yeah,
and then that's what I present.
Yeah.
And if I get laughs and stuff, I can go on tangents and it's like riding a wave. Mm. Then I can build it out a little more, and then as I do the bit around town, now I have its legs. I'm not thinking about how to present it. Then I can find new angles about it, and then as you're living life, you think of another idea and you go, oh, that can just Voltron onto this,
right?
So then the Lego pieces build out, so you have this core idea and then it just beefs up.
For each set that you go up and do, like let's say at the store for a 15-minute set in the OR, do you have, I think I've seen you have a little beat sheet, right?
Yeah, like my phone. It'll be
right.
On the set list.
And is it just in order? Do you always kind of just truly go, you know, down the list? Do you orchestrate in that way? Or do you kind of like put the things you really want to hit up top? Or are you just kind of like looking down and going, whatever strikes me in the moment?
It depends what type of, if I'm doing my Fahim Works on Stuff show, I love that the most because that's pure spaghetti. That's me, all new ideas, never done before. My fans in the crowd, it's a belly room.
Yeah.
It's not ton
of
seats.
Yeah, but still,
maybe.
You're always like, packing it, and it's like 90, 100, 110 maybe?
It's like maybe 70.
Okay.
But it's cool. Yeah, it's cool to be at a point in your career now where
Fuck
you can just say, hey, I'm doing the works on stuff, and it sells out.
Well, also, again, you've like, you know, created this vibe to what you do, that you are always having new stuff. So I think people know that are going, they're like, oh, I get to see the truly raw. It's a really great idea for a show, but it's a great idea for you. And I think it's only going to grow.
I hope so.
1,000%.
Yeah, there are people who, I didn't think people would respond to it as well as they are, but I'm getting people who are coming to my weekend shows at different cities from like, hey, I saw works on stuff. And
bro,
that's crazy.
Look at the consistency of shows at the store that people get going that like really end up turning into something.
Uh-huh.
I think that definitely has legs to do that too. And it's just so, you know, self-fulfilling because it's like, fuck, every time you do it, you're giving yourself another, you're already kind of saying like, this is all like, they're giving you benefit of the doubt,
mm-hmm.
but also expecting a little bit because they know like, we know that you're not going to just fucking throw complete like
right.
You know,
I've done my homework. I've been jotting these ideas down.
Yes.
So it depends on the type of show that I'm doing. If I'm doing a works on stuff, I'll just do all spaghetti. But if I'm doing the OR, Friday and Saturday, I can't really inject a ton of new,
right,
just for me emotionally. Yes. Like there's a certain bar of show,
totally,
that I feel like I need to deliver.
I love that.
But if it's early in the week, say Tuesday or Wednesday in the OR, and it's kind of chill,
yeah,
I'll start strong, and then in the middle, I'll weave in some maybe like B string jokes or C string jokes.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I'll sprinkle in some.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast, and I'm sitting down because I got some big news. Usually I'm standing up to do comedy, but I'm sitting down now because I got the deal of a lifetime. First of all, sitting is bad for you. We all know that, whether we're sitting on planes or sitting on a beanbag chair watching porn in front of our kids. There's just too much damage you do on the body. Thankfully, Axion has come up with a chair that allows your pelvis to move the way it does while you walk. So all 33 vertebrae align into perfect posture. The result? Better breathing, better blood flow, and relief from the pain. It's crazy what you can do when you set your body to do it. Now, these guys are homies of mine. My buddy Dennis worked with the Clippers as their doctor for 27 years. He runs a wellness center called Peak Wellness. He's a fucking gangster and has saved me from surgery numerous times. I actually met Justin Bieber at his place, and I was in my boxers getting cupping done, and Bieber and I locked eyes, and I was like, this is how we were supposed to meet, and Bieber smiled, and I never saw him again. This chair is a game changer. It's changed the way I live, it's changed the way I breathe, the way I sit, and you guys right now can get that chair for 25% off using the promo code ALN25 at all33.com. It's incredible. You got to get it. It's the only chair out there to get. We will be getting them for the studio. Go to all33.com and use promo code ALN25 for 25% off this chair. So, new hairdo. Who dis?
Yeah, who
dis? Big fan. I walked in.
Towel dry.
Yeah, towel dry.
This is me. This is the real me. This is my coming out party.
Yeah.
Everyone has been seeing like blow dry fame, but this is...
Is this going to be the new...
You know... No, not really. I'm not going to do this all the time.
Gotcha.
But sometimes... I did it for you.
Thank you, bro.
Let the real me come out. Sometimes I don't want to do all that stuff.
Yeah.
I had a set at the store like two nights ago. I didn't have time. I was running late. And I'll roll in like this. And people forget because I only do it maybe like once every 2 months or something, or once every month. Everyone's always just surprised like, oh, what the fuck? So I surprise people every 2 months or whatever.
Do you have people at the store? What's your use from that voice? Just definitely made me envision like,
Fuck?
Yeah, just a fan like, whoa, Fahim Anwar, what the fuck? Anwar, Anwar, dude, either way, dude, fuck, what the fuck? Yeah. Where have you had one of those recently that's been cool? I had one at the airport about 3 days ago, and it made me go, man, I'm never going to be a dick when those things happen because it's always cool to me.
Yes, I don't understand
when
you hear stories about celebrities who are dicks or whatever. I'm just so grateful anybody knows or cares.
Yes. No one's getting it all the time. I mean, if Paul McCartney is just casually walking through a fucking mall.
Yeah.
He's probably, but even that, I don't know.
I'm sure he's a sweetheart.
Yeah, and also I feel like there's a handful of people in that fucking mall that aren't going to run out of Claire's and go...
Still bleeding. Oh my God. Yeah. I'm such a fan. Yeah, it's like a 60-year-old man.
Yeah, with no problem, sir, but you should have pissed the other side. Have you had one of those that was like really awesome and then also one that was like, whoa, dude, wrong place, wrong time, or you're just a little too drunk or the energy's off or...
One that was pretty cool. I was in Hawaii and I'm just walking around this mall and I'm on this like up this like second floor terrace, kind of looking at the shops. People are milling about down below. And some guy with his girlfriend, he looks up and sees me, he goes, oh, Fahim Anwar. And I go, hey. So that was because Hawaii feels so far to me.
Yeah.
Almost like Narnia or something.
1,000%.
Like, so for someone to know who I am out there, that was kind of a little mind fuck. Like, oh, wow. I would understand LA because I do the Comedy Store and people go to shows all the time.
Yeah.
But Hawaii was just such a, oh, that's interesting.
What about after Rogan?
I mean, that's crazy because that's like the new Tonight Show. Yeah, you get a lot more people. You get a lot more DMs. It's cool.
You've done it twice.
Three. I did it when he was in...
Here.
The one here in LA and then the submarine and then the new one. Yeah.
Give me the first... I don't think I've talked to you about any of those. First of all, third time, more like almost like doing this. I mean, not like doing this, but... comfort level wise.
Sure.
Versus the first time.
Oh, first time is like terrifying. You know what I mean? Because it's such a big, because it's such a big thing.
Well, I feel like I'd be terrified.
And I didn't know him. I knew him, but I didn't know him as well.
Yeah. To fully be you or to fully what? Just trust?
Yeah, it was twofold because I didn't know him like on a friend level as much as because we had an interface. Like I would see him a little bit at the store.
Yeah.
But so it's that. I didn't know him as well. And then also,
it's such
a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you walk away going like, fuck, I should have said this. I should have, are you pretty good about just being like, all right.
I'm better at that now. Yeah. I think once you have enough success on your own and stuff and you feel comfortable in your own right and what you do as an artist, you're like, I do my best and then you can't control the past. And if there's anything, you just learn from it and move on.
Totally.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a very healthy mindset. And I try to apply the same thing. I just start crying. Where anytime I clear my throat, I always, that's my.
That's the move. Yeah, I don't like people seeing me cry either. I think my buddy, he wanted me to go see the new Mr. Rogers when that came out.
Oof, I went and saw it with Bobby.
I wanted to go see it, but I just don't feel comfortable.
Crying.
Like crying with another, like a friend in a movie theater feels like jerking off with a friend.
At a strip club.
Yeah. I just don't want to do it.
You have a great bit too about going through a breakup or what was it? And crying. Fuck, I'm butchering it.
I think, so the thought is, you know, people don't realize stand-up comedians, we go through life things as well, but then we have shows. We still have to do shows. So I remember this time, like life stuff will happen. It was like, I broke up with my girlfriend and then like I had a show later that night and I was trying to talk about it on stage way too early.
Yeah.
So I would be up here like, so I was broke up with my girlfriend and what's up with chicks? Right? It's like they don't even love you anymore. And I'm like, this guy knows what I'm talking about. Like, I'm not even looking at the guy.
No bit, just fucking, it's like, it's like they don't even love you anymore.
It's like, this guy knows, you know? And people are just watching, like, Jesus, like, take a week off. Process this.
That's such a great premise of, like, what'd you say, you did it too soon?
Yeah, I was trying to talk about it
way
too soon.
Talk about too early, yeah. Because there's value in that. Yeah. I think in like anything that, I mean, shit, I was doing Jeremiah's stand up on the spot last night and I riffed some jokes about my stepmom who, you know, passed of cancer 2 years ago, but I always had a weird relationship with because here's the woman that like my dad cheated with on my mom and then started a new family. So there's always kind of a weird. And so now when I kind of, and I did some jokes last night about it that crushed and I was like, and I've got quite a few locked and loaded that I'm just like not yet fully comfy on because I just there's no reason to my dad watches a good amount of stuff that goes up and it just won't make him feel good and it's not worth it that being said the laughs last night made me think twice about
it. He's gonna hear the laughs and just go well, I get it. I don't like that it's brought up but I mean it crushes
but I agree with what you're saying about like some things have to like I don't know so if something happened, let's say on the drive over here, like how quickly will you kind of, you know, pocket or clock something that you're like, oh, I could talk about that tonight.
It depends how good the idea is, I think, and how easy, like, where does it fit in the set? Can I slip it in pretty easy? Is it like a one-liner?
You have a bunch of those good ones. There's, God, I wish I could, I should have just made notes on some of these best ofs, but you even have those great ones where it's like a one-liner. But then I've seen him do a one-liner, and then I'm like, oh, that definitely also is almost like a premise test where you're kind of like saying it, and I'm like, oh, there's going to be more to that because that one-liner got that the question that you just asked, which is all I think we're trying to do, right, is ask questions. Like, just keep peeling back. Like, if that's true, what else, right? Like, and you're really good at that, of being like, God, you just fucking posted one or a clip. About The Rock, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Love you, DJ. What did you say about...
Oh, I was just thinking like
he can't, dads.
He can't, yeah, like,
yeah.
If you're that muscular, like you can't be a good dad, like he's probably not.
Because you're
spending so much time on your muscles and all that and like eating, even consuming that many meals. It's just so even that is a lot of time.
Right.
And then the crazy acting, like he's doing so many things outside of that.
Right.
And then I just picture a child at home and like no one's playing with him.
right.
And then I go, just like the kid's probably gonna do a tell-all book when he's 21.
Totally.
And it's called Between a Rock and a Hard Place.
Oh my God. So fun. Yeah, those types of, again, I just was like, God, just how your brain works to structure that. You know, and by the way, not the case with DJ. Amazing dad.
I know.
Dad of the year.
You know, what's funny about jokes,
it's more
too,
of a dad to me than my dad.
It's crazy you know him and you guys are friends and stuff. And as you kind of climb the comedy ranks, when you're younger, you just take shots at everybody. It's not even a shot. But then as you get a little bigger, you go, oh, man, I hope he doesn't see this and think that I don't like it. You
totally.
Know
what I mean?
So you
oh,
play
totally.
That game. You
oh,
go,
totally.
Should I not post this because I don't want to make enemies with The Rock? And you go, no, he'll know it's a joke, right?
Oh, yeah. I said some joke on stage about how monkeypox needs, I don't think they're going to make it because I don't think they have the balls to attach to like an A-lister to get the publicity they need. Like COVID grabbed Hanks. Everybody took it seriously. Like monkeypox is going to get Nick Lachey, the host of Love is Blind. And I said it and it got some good laughs. And I was like, all right, maybe I can insert somebody else there. The idea of just, you know, that it, you'll hear that and go, oh, I'm going to be fine. You
right.
know, but it was Hanks. It was it put a scare in you because you're like, Hanks is up here.
Sure.
Lachey, do you I don't know where he falls.
Do you think like celebrities call their agents and like get me COVID? When there's like a hot new disease, and see, go, look, we got you monkeypox. What the fuck? Why do I even have
who
it? Monkeypox? Why'd you give me SARS? What year are you in?
Oh my God!
Just
see,
hitting them.
Yeah, that's so funny.
I want the new strain. I don't want Omicron. That's last.
Oh, Delta? Who got Delta? Who got the Matt Damon got Delta?
Yeah.
Fuck! He's already got the Bourne series.
You've got a. Yeah, you get somebody from like the CDC just to track the hottest. Look,
it's Fauci.
It's not even
Fauci's
out.
The
it's,
weird.
In a, it's in a lab. It hasn't broke yet. We can get you to breathe it. We have a test tube for you.
Oh, we've already got Harrison Ford locked in. Naomi Watts wants to do two inhales. If she doesn't do a third and Charlize says no.
You're next up. You're on deck. We asked Taylor if she would date you. Her slate is full. So that's not a route we can get you on. We do have this new strain
this
from
new
a wet
strain.
Market. It's the wettest market.
Taylor Lautner's doing it. Is that going to be a problem?
is that
you're like, oh, I'm better.
Yeah.
I'm better than that. Oh my God, that's so...
What's Pattinson got?
That's just so strained. Funny, dude. An agent for that stuff. Yeah. So the second time you do Rogue, third time. So to a comfy place. And to where, and you see a nice boost from DMs and stuff, but
yeah.
and for sure helped Hat Trick your special filmed at the Comedy Store out on YouTube. I mean, that for sure, big boost from that.
Yes,
right?
That was kind of my only strategy. Like, that's the only thing I had. I had other podcasts as well,
yep.
but it all hinged on, hey, can I, you know, promote this? And he was like, oh yeah, of course. So that's like all I had in place.
Totally. He did you a solid too by pulling up like footage of it to
the
opening, which it looked great. I know you've talked about it on end and before, you know, we've got about 10, 15 left. And but I mean, what was that an easy call? Was it tough to do? Was it like stressful or was it all just like once you came up with the idea, you're like, because it doesn't feel like the like you're taking out all the a shit ton of cameras budget wise, probably more. You know, not as stressful, right?
Yeah.
So did it make it more fun to put together or was it still like, I know how this wants to go. I want to do right by myself and the store. So like you're...
I just had a clear vision for what it was and I didn't want to make it precious. I was just leaning into the raw nature. Also, I'm doing it on YouTube. So if I'm trying to be a Netflix special on YouTube, it'll come off as janky in my mind. So that's why I strategically... wanted to shoot it this way. I wanted it to be bare bones. I wanted it to be kind of fly on the wall, just a few cameras, low footprint. So people wouldn't even know that there's a taping going on. It's just a couple of cameras in the back and stuff.
Yeah.
Logging these sets as I bounce around the Comedy Store and just stringing it together. I wanted a more fly on the wall experience than like sweeping crane shots. And there's a place for that. But I feel like the market is so saturated with that I wouldn't stand out. I would just get lost amongst all those specials.
Yeah, people also, what you did a huge service on is giving all the people that are fans of the store that hear about it talked on end on podcasts and whatnot, giving them a real taste of like a night at the store.
Yeah, that it had never been depicted this way, which I just find fast. Like, I can't believe.
Totally.
When I had this idea, I go, this has to have been done, right? And they go, like, no one's done it this way. And I think that's what makes the store so special. It's almost like another character to film it as a moving organism, not renting it out and just shooting the bones of it.
Yeah.
Seeing the waitresses, seeing people come and go, the piano playing, going through the different rooms. It really captured I wanted to show what a night, like an actual night at the Comedy Store looks and feels like.
Mm.
Not like loading in an audience and people, all right. Show two's coming up and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then it's more of a presentation of what the jokes are rather than just a
and you know you can club. Always do that. It, you know,
yeah, that's
doing,
there.
Yeah. Did your folks see it?
I don't know. I think so. Probably. My mom saw it.
Wow, you don't
my
know.
My dad doesn't track a lot of my...
How come?
Eh, he's old. He's old school. Gotcha. And also, like, stand-up is not... Also, we kind of, I mean, I've talked about it, I suppose, before, where he wasn't super into me doing stand-up and stuff.
Totally.
We're good now. Yeah. Just he wanted me to have a thriving, you know, career.
It would have been great if Rogan was the thing that turned him.
You know what's crazy is my mom told me, she goes, oh, this is maybe like a year ago, like, your father started watching Rogan. He goes, yeah, they like talk and smoke cigars. And like, he just found out about Rogan about a year ago. Yeah. And he likes it. He loves it.
Does your dad like cigars?
No.
Yeah.
He'll do cigarettes every now and then. Like, yeah. Maybe like once every month.
And we both go home a decent amount. Do you like, what's Seattle going home? We both rep it hard. Love our sports. You know, love
my,
our city.
My brother is so jealous. Like, you're almost like a surrogate son to him because you do all the sports stuff and he's such a sports guy.
Oh, he is.
So he's like, Adam Ray on 710 or throwing out the pitch.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like you're the brother he didn't have in the sports arena. Because like my brother would love if
wow.
I like, you know, Kemp and all this. And
yeah.
I grew up with sports. Yeah. And I think when I moved away from home, I realized it was more so because my brother loved those things.
Gotcha.
But I still like them too.
Yeah.
But not as much as him. So when he sees you doing all this Seattle sports stuff, he's just like, pointing it out to
oh,
me.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah. Well, fuck. Well, next time there's a thing, whether it's a, fuck, I don't know. Maybe when they come down here, we'll go to a game and go,
oh,
to,
that'd
the
be great.
Go to the booth or something.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah, oh, my God. Cool. He would love that shit. Oh,
okay, cool. He's up. He's down here. No, he's in Seattle.
He's in Seattle.
Okay, well, maybe we'll just go up there or something. Do you, is Seattle, for me, it's a little bit of a, not a reset button, but my chance to, and A, probably because there's only a couple clubs really right now there and not as much. I think there's more shows popping up, but I try to use it as my way to like be with fam, be a person, live life, accumulate experiences, not for material, but just to also just take a little bit of a, to check out for a second.
Yeah.
Is that what you use it
totally.
For?
Totally. Yeah. I recharge the battery when I go home. It's this Hollywood thing is it's great to chase something and be productive and be an entrepreneur. But then I like having that reset when I go home and you're reminded of who you are as a person. Stripping away the Hollywood shit, like who you were before all this stuff, it's a great reset and calibration, and it fuels you for the next year. Like, okay. I love, it's the coffee beans at the fragrance counter.
Wow. That's awesome.
Which you eat. This is how you learn, and then I go, oh, well, yeah. Or if there's a pen with a bunch of coffee beans, and go, that's a nice, that's cool. So it's a little snack when I sign my name.
No, that's actually.
How many people have touch a pen?
Quite a few, actually. You're actually not even supposed to chew that. Mm. I don't know what made you think that was edible.
Is it Colombian or is it like Hawaiian?
Yeah, that's not a thing to say right now.
I like it though.
Yeah, good.
All right, you validate?
Good, just lingers. All right, before we wrap this up, I want to, I didn't do this with you last time. I think the last time you were on was when it was you, me, and Brad, in my old place. We're going to do a 10-questionnaire inside the Actor Studio to get to know Fahim Anwar. I've always said Anwar. I'm going to go with that.
Go with Anwar. It's sort of like...
I've heard Anwar, too.
Yeah. You know what?
I think in Seattle, it giggles when I first saw you, which I've said this before, but I'll say it again, and that's what I think is really cool, is when I saw you there, I was just like... Okay, well, I don't know if this guy's full-time, but he fucking figured it out. Like, you did I don't know what bit you did that was like, oh, man, was it something about MTV? An MTV show? Did you do a bit about the Lifetime's,
Oh, my God.
The Lifetime's.
Whoa.
Something about, like, the lifestyles of the rich and famous.
I forgot the bit, but it's something along the line of, like J-Lo.
MTV's like, Billy, yeah.
She's this baby blonde for like it gets more and more extravagant or something.
Well, you remember. Okay, cool. Yeah, I remember seeing that being like brilliant, very funny. You did an accent, you did an act out. All right, inside the Actor Studio questionnaire. I'm James Lipton. RIP, you no doubt be on the show.
What if I start rolling my own cigarettes like Johnny Depp style?
He did do that, didn't he? He was like, do you mind if I smoke here?
That's a pretty good Johnny Depp.
I did on Stern.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it was like 4 a.m., so I was like, and I tried to improvise, and they were like, just stick to the script, man. All right. First of all, here we go. I'm James Lipton. I'm here with Fahim Anwar. Either way, what is your favorite word?
This is so tough. do I make it up or am I honest?
Either way. Yeah, either way. This is a real or joke answer. No, you know, nothing's right.
Bazooka.
Great.
Just, yeah. Do you want to know
why? The gum or the gun?
The gun.
Fair enough. What is your least... Turn the cameras off. No. What is your least favorite word?
Jam?
What turns you on?
Love.
What turns you off?
Anger.
What is your favorite curse word?
Fuck.
What is your... What noise or sound do you love?
Laughter.
What sound or noise do you hate?
When people laugh like... Have you had that?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Some people laugh like that.
Oh, yeah. I hate... Oh, yeah. Almost like they're trying to start doing a Rozelle beatbox.
Kind of. And it's not even a bad, like...
No, it's just they
like
can't...
a boo and hiss. Yeah. Just like a... Yeah. Sometimes I'll listen to tapes and I'll hear someone in the back, like, that's how they laugh. Like...
Yeah.
Just like, let it out.
Having a bad laugh, to me, is almost worse than, I don't know, having a disease that you can't get rid of.
Yeah. I never want to make fun of someone's laugh, though, because...
No, you they're don't expressing
want
them to... joy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't want to take their joy away.
There's
from
There's some
them.
Crazy ones out there, though.
There
the,
is.
The one silent, like...
At shows, you have to address it at a certain point.
You have to.
Because everyone's like... You're not being real in the moment. You're not addressing this bonkers laugh. If somebody's like, you can't do an hour and, it's and all, not bring that up.
And it's lingering too after the.
Yeah, everyone else is silent. And she's still
so going. Anyway. This guy gets it. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Musician.
What profession would you not like to do?
Like honey bucket pumper.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Everything's all right.
It's a good movie. Oh, yeah? No, the kids are all right.
Oh, yeah, I thought yeah.
Fuck, I fucked that up.
No, what if
That's
he goes,
very
he,
sweet.
He says the title of the movie and then you just watch it, just me and God on the couch. And he just loves it so much and it's God and you don't want to say anything.
You know, Diane Lane's underrated.
He's like, I love this part. Yeah, and you see, like, heaven's awesome, but you still can't, you can't get to it yet because you got to wait for God to watch the movie. You want popcorn or? I put a bunch of crunches in the popcorn. And...
I've got these perfume coffee beans. Where are your tour dates? You're going on tour. Yeah. Everyone go see Fahim.
Please. Yeah, that'd be great. You can find my tour dates on FahimAnwar.com. I'm doing San Antonio this weekend and then La Jolla next weekend. I'm going to be in Boston.
Oof.
Boston,
everywhere.
Boston's great. Yeah,
great.
Yeah. So check out FahimAnwar.com for my tour dates and then Instagram, FahimAnwar. And then, like you mentioned, my work's on stuff. So I put...
Yes. Subscribe to his YouTube channel.
Yeah, that'd be great. I just spaghetti all these ideas and it's a weekly thing. So if you go to youtube.com/FahimAnwar, subscribe. And the special's on there too, Hat Trick.
Living legend, Fahim Anwar. Good night, everybody.
The Bag Bros. Yeah.